is the Stargirl After Show with Sarah and Sean. Your post-show breakdown of DC Stargirl with Easter eggs, exclusive behind-the-scenes info, and cast and crew interviews.
This is our destiny.
I finally know who I really am.
I'm Stargirl.
This is the Stargirl After Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to a between seasons special Stargirl after show episode. As always, sponsored by Stargirl.tv and DCTV.news, your best resources for news, media, and spoilers about Stargirl and other DC Comics properties. I'm Sean.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're joined by so many wonderful people. First, we have Sarah's What's New Nancy Drew co-host and brother-in-law, Ben.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm a huge fan.
And going from my left around the table, we have Yvette Monreal.
Woo!
Breck Bassinger.
Woo!
Angelica Washington.
Woo! Oh, I didn't get a woo.
And Cameron Yelman.
Woo!
Woo! I woo for all of you.
Can you say Angelica's name again?
Angelica Washington.
He's like, ow, my ears.
So, this is now a 7-person podcast, which is a lot. Sarah, you're editing, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Wish you all the best. Godspeed.
I've never dealt with a podcast with this many people, and I'm excited that you're all here. I see Yvette doodling a wildcat cowl. I love it.
Aww.
Does it look good, guys?
It looks a little bit like the tooth.
Everybody has notepads and pens because Sarah and Ben have come up with a game for us to play. And I'm in the dark as to what that game is, but we're going to find out what it is. Also, I gave everybody here little Stars and Stripe Forever stickers.
Which obsessed. Are adorable. Yeah. We love
they
them.
They love them.
Love.
And those were sent to us by our fan, Scott Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, they look so awesome.
They look like those tattoos you get at the public pool and you wet them and you put it on your arm, you know?
Stars and Stripes.
And I
forever.
Wish that it was that. Or like a biker,
you
a biker symbol.
At a public pool.
What public pools are you going to?
Shout out Shaw Park in my hometown.
It's a real specific. Very reference specific. There.
No, I was like the ones you get in like your elementary school class where they pass out.
Yeah, you know, like those little quarter machines.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're getting there, Cameron.
There's just some weird dude at a St. Louis public pool going.
Going up to little kids.
You want a tattoo?
Yeah, but he's not weird about it, you know?
That's weird. Anyone going up to children, giving them tattoos in a public pool
it's
is weird.
It's less like he approaches you and more like he's just available.
I don't like it.
Anyway, these stickers are beautiful, and I will be putting one on my iPad that I use every single day, and I'm super excited about
it. Wow. So yeah, these were sent to us by Scott Derby, who also sent me some nice little enamel pins.
So where
that
are
on
at?
My bag.
Enamel. Oh, what? Sorry, that's not the important part of that.
Sorry. Okay.
You know, just like the little lapel pins.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
He sent some. Those ones aren't Stargirl related.
Well, then, what are they?
He sent me a nice a Green Lantern and a bat anti shark repellent spray one.
Oh, cool!
From the 1966 Batman movie.
I love that. Just FYI to everybody listening, we are all here in person, not virtually, so I apologize in advance for our wildness.
Oh, yeah. Good luck, Sarah.
We are just enthusiastic about Stargirl. Mm-hmm. That's all.
JSA.
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 Yeah, so we have the entirety of the JSA here in the room, except for Papa JSA, Luke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be here because we don't have enough microphones. But I'm sure he really, really would have wanted to be here.
Yeah, someone had to take the hit.
I believe that deep in my lying to myself.
No, he would have.
He would have.
He loves Stargirl as well.
So what we're here to do is talk about season 2,
mm-hmm.
go through some memories of filming and some of our favorite moments from the season, and maybe if there's anything you guys feel like you can say about season 3, which we're in the midst of filming right now, you know, throw some teases out. or not, because I know that literally nothing has been said about the season yet.
Yeah, nothing. Not even tone wise.
Which is super intentional.
Yeah. So
I will say that we are in it. We are on that show.
And you're probably having a good time shooting it.
Yeah. It's great.
There. So now that we've said that, I can definitely put in the teaser like season three talk.
Season three talk. I just said it. So therefore, we talk about season three talk.
There we go.
Season three talk.
All right.
All right. Do we want to start with the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love games.
100%.
Okay, just so you know that this isn't just some random person that came to join us. Ben is my BFF brother-in-law and co-host of What's New, Nancy Drew.
Woo-woo.
And he is a huge Stargirl fan. He's the one who lent me all the copies of the comics before I got my own to read them. And he also got me an amazing Stargirl pop figure custom made by... It was from a Survivor person, right?
Yeah, Todd Herzog. So, Breck, I definitely sent your picture to someone to make a likeness. So, sorry about that.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they also scan our likeness, so you could always reach out to those folks because they really, they've taken photos of all of, you know. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the whole collection.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the pop figures with the very detailed faces of two black eyes.
There you go. You go into a truck and, you know, there's like 3,000 cameras and you stand in the middle of all of them. And they have you make faces, you know, and like that's how they would, you know, use your likeness, basically.
I think on the Flash, the digi double, that's called a digi double.
Mm-hmm.
It probably gets more screen time than Grant Gustin.
Yeah.
There's a lot of running. And, you know, this whole 3D scanning thing also makes the fact that there are no like high quality Stargirl action figures unforgivable.
I concur.
Where are our Stargirl action figures, everybody?
I think we should make a push. I don't know who we talk to. I feel like you're the guy to talk to, perhaps.
I'm the guy?
I think you are. Look what's in your room.
I literally asked Jeff about the possibility of Stargirl action figures, and he had no clue. Like, all of that is just so far outside of the actual production environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who makes those decisions, but they need to start making them.
You know, sometimes I forget that he is also the one person solely responsible for the whole thing. So when he doesn't know small details like that, it takes me a second to be like, why? And then I realize that he's busy enough for seven whole people. You know what I mean?
He's not just writing this show.
Nope.
And running this show.
Correct.
He's also writing comics.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly certain that... Jeff has mastered the art of like meditating for 8 minutes a day instead of sleeping.
Yeah.
That's the only way he has to have time.
I can attest
to
that. Yeah.
And then like still has a child and a wife and a home in LA. Like it's crazy. Yeah. And he still EPs like other CW DC shows too.
Yeah. Tell us about this game.
All right. Well, we are going to play What Do You Say? JSA.
So this game is going to be asking different questions. There are three rounds. First round is going to be how well do you know each other? So we're going to ask a question and you will all write down on your little pad. So there's no cheating or snooping around at each other's papers. And we're going to take turns to see what you all put down.
And we won't be able to read people's answers. So I guess we'll just go around so people can read them out.
Okay.
Plus the podcast listeners would prefer that too.
Oh, audio great question.
Is that's this, a phenomenal
is this as our
care?
Is the answer as our character? Like, am I answering for Beth or am I answering for Angelica?
So for the first round, it is for you actual people, not your characters.
Got it.
The real humans.
I'm ready.
Okay, so the first question. Out of the five of you, who is the most likely to be found reading a Stargirl comic book?
Oh, wait. Is Sean an option?
100%.
Yeah, I'm one of all five of you.
Okay, well, let me change my answer.
Gee, I wonder who it'll be.
That was great. That's a great point because I had an answer and I completely changed it.
Same.
Hi, Sean. So happy you're here.
Now I kind of want to know what the second answers were.
All right, everybody?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, Sean.
But it was Breck.
It was Breck.
I said Breck.
And I said me before Sean.
Yeah, I said Breck because, you know, Breck puts in the work.
Yeah, she reads all of them.
I've read a good number of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She has them all, too.
I do. It's like a really easy gift Like my whole family, every time it's like Christmas or birthday, they're like, I'll just buy her something Star Girl. It works. Nice.
Eventually, it has to reach that point where everyone's like, I mean, she has all the Star Girl stuff, right?
Oh, but even like all my clothes at this point, like I would say like 70% of my clothes have at least one star on them.
Yeah, and your jewelry. Fair.
And my I literally have a star necklace on right now. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Before this show, was it all bulldog stuff that you were getting?
You laugh, but yes, we actually have a bulldog. I think that was a reason my brother got the bulldog. Yeah.
All right. Question two. Of the five of you in the room, who is most likely to drive you to the airport at 4 a.m.?
You know, what's funny is after she was on the show, I actually drove Meg to the airport.
Oh, I love that. Aww. That's so sweet.
It wasn't 4 a.m. though.
So I then it's Meg. Not you, Sean.
All right. Yeah, pencils down.
Ready. Let's go around this time.
All right.
What'd you say?
Angelica.
Yvette. I put myself. Angelica.
Yeah. I put Evie. I put Yvette.
I put Cameron.
So Breck sucks.
Breck just really sleeping. Likes your sleep.
You
That's
do
all.
Like to sleep.
I work a lot, guys.
You do. You do.
She is our number one. That is right. That is true.
She is Star Girl. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason I didn't answer Breck was because I figured like she
working.
Needs her sleep. Oh. That was literally my reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the next one, which of you are the most likely to go skydiving?
Oh.
Ooh. I like how we're playing this eye game, but we're all looking at each other like.
This is me thinking like, okay,
right.
This is the line where I realize I don't know these people that well.
Mm-hmm. Pens down.
Hey, get it? Take a leap of faith.
Ready?
Because skydiving.
This was designed to make you all fight. So hopefully that's a reason.
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right.
Are you all ready? Let's go ahead and start with Cameron this time and go the other way.
My answer is me with Breck because it's been discussed and it's like what we're going to do. Yeah. And we've talked about like doing it in our super suits and that will happen and it's not a joke. So
that's amazing.
Not going to bring the cape because capes are dumb and I'll get sucked into an airplane.
No capes.
Uh-huh. No capes. There's a reason for that.
No capes ever.
Ever. But that's the real answer is Breck and I together.
I put Cam as well.
Yeah.
I've actually been skydiving.
Oh.
But I also put me and Cam together.
Mm-hmm.
I put myself.
I put Breck.
You were the second choice for me, though, Yvette.
Oh, I totally I've done it. I'll do it again.
Yep.
I bungee jumped.
Yep.
Adrenaline junkie. Mm-hmm. That got kind of aggressive.
It's okay. Thanks. But Yvette, you are very adventurous.
Yeah, Yvette would totally
you
do
were
it.
My second choice for sure.
Thanks, guys.
I don't think
you gotta tie your hair back though.
Cool, cool. So when we wrap
around your face.
Mm. Oh, I know.
You and Evie, when we wrap?
Yeah.
Celebrate rap
would you do
Skydiving?
It with us, Angelica?
Come on, you know you would.
I mean, I've always, if we do it in like Hawaii, like I've always wanted to skydive in Hawaii.
Let's take a trip to Hawaii.
Which is perfect because Breck and I are going to enter a professional pickleball tournament in Hawaii.
So this we can make a whole
we
thing
We can do
about
it that weekend. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Okay,
love it.
You all have to be in costume, though.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
In each other's costumes, to be clear.
I won't have my goggles or my cape, but I'll be Dr. Midnight everywhere else.
We want you to be able to see.
Yeah.
So Cam's going to wear the Stargirl suit, right? And then
I want to wear a Wildcat suit.
I'll wear a Dr.
Midnight. I'll be Hourman.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
The fans would love that.
That would really be fun. Hawaii
so
skydiving.
They would never let us take the suits, though.
All right, so y'all are being way too friendly. So this next question, there's a pizza party, right?
Okay.
Who's the most likely to take the last slice of pizza?
I mean,
is it gluten-free?
It has to be gluten-free pizza for it to be a fair
let's
question.
Let's just say, like, it's gluten-free for us, not gluten-free for you guys.
Okay.
Meaning, like, it's a...
It's really good gluten-free pizza that you can't tell is gluten-free.
There we go.
I'm trying to think, like, am I hungry? It's a pizza party?
Yeah. Oh, I have the answer to this. This is easy.
I have it as well.
Yeah, okay, I do too.
Oh, wait, now it's getting more complicated. I've overthought it. No, I still like my answer.
Mm. Yeah,
if you're not sure who it is, it's probably you.
That's when in doubt.
factually true. Really? I was like, is it me?
Okay, I have an answer, but with a caveat.
Okay.
But I'm not starting.
Oh, you are, though.
Oh,
yeah.
You start.
Oh, okay, I'm starting. I say it's Breck.
What the?
But because it's left over, she made sure everybody else ate first.
She asked. I would always ask, like, does anyone want this? Because if not, I'm going to eat it. I would do that.
Okay, so I chose Breck.
What the?
Only because Angelica, you eat so
slow.
Yes.
She'd be so slow.
She chews all of her food.
Yes.
And she gets full really fast.
You're supposed to chew all of your food.
Yeah. What do you mean? She chews all of her food.
We inhale. Yeah, exactly. She chews 24 times. I choose 9 times.
We counted. Yeah,
yeah,
we did. In the middle of a scene, we were eating grapes and we literally counted. They eat like 1, 2, 3, 4. Swallow. And I'm like, you guys, what? You're still working on
the Okay, food. I just want to let our listeners know there's a lot of downtime on a movie set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you chew a grape 24 times?
That's what I'm saying.
It baffles me, honestly. I watched it.
I just really need it to be broken down.
She's helping her digestive system out.
It's so much better.
You know what it is?
That's when you really want grape juice and only grapes are available.
The truth is, I really love food and I cherish like the flavor and textures of food and I really like savor food and like, anyways, I love food.
Yeah.
She's our foodie girl.
Her email signature bottom, line
literally says foodie.
Says foodie. Mm-hmm. Maybe before actress. I'm not even sure.
I said, so I had some caveats as well. I feel like Angelica is the foodie of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say Angelica, but realistically it's Cameron because he is a bottomless pit. That boy can eat. He can eat.
This is true.
It's true.
No, it's true.
I also said Breck, so.
What the heck?
First. Because you would ask, but you absolutely would take the last slice, for sure. She would look at it and be like, anyone gonna eat that? No? Okay, cool. And then you would just take it, 100%.
Okay, Ange, I said you.
I mean, yeah.
Because in my head, it's like, you say no one wanted this right as you're putting it in your mouth.
That's true.
Like, that's sort of what, you know? Mm-hmm. But I actually haven't, like, been in this situation with you, so I like there's always been more than enough, so there's never we've never had to fight. There's really no scarcity issues on Stargirl, which is a blessing.
That's true.
So
I was gonna put myself too, but then I was like Breck more, because like Yvette said, I'd still be working on the first slice. So
on the first bite. Cam, I feel like I haven't eaten with you enough to like know the bottomless pit situation.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'll just have to tell you some of the meals. I'm like, what? Because we eat a lot of the same foods, but like what would be 4 meals for me is like half a meal for him. And I'm like, go off.
Literally.
He's also 2 feet taller than the three of us.
This is
combined.
True. Yeah.
And also like he works out like 8 million hours a day.
Last week we did a scene together and I'm like, what'd you bring for lunch today? He was like, oh, chicken. I said, oh, yeah, a whole chicken? He was like, yeah, a whole chicken. Like, you're going to eat the whole chicken? He was like, yeah.
No, he told me the same thing. He was like, yeah, I made this really good, like a whole chicken. I was like, oh, yeah, did you like meal prep it and eat on it for a few days? He's like, oh, no, I ate it in one day.
That's awesome. Honestly, I feel that feeding myself is just an incredible burden. And it exhausts me emotionally. Because I need to do it way more than I think is fair.
And, oh, he has a fast metabolism. That must suck.
You know what? And I'm just looking forward to like getting to that place in my life where I can like, that's the first thing I'm going to do with like money is hire like a chef to always have, you know, because it's just, I mean, when you eat a whole chicken for one meal, what do you do for the other two meals? Like now you have to make other whole chickens.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I have like, the opposite problem, not even a problem, really. It's sort of a blessing. Like, I'll order some Uber Eats and I'll be like, that is expensive, man. I can't believe I ordered that, but I'm lazy. But then I can't finish it. So it's two meals.
Yeah. That's me. All of my meals, again, because I eat very slow, so I don't eat as much, but it always lasts me like 3 meals. Always.
All right. We got one more question here. All right. So you're on set and Stripe's hand is in a new position. Who was the most likely to have moved it?
Man, these are
LOL.
Very good questions.
This is a good one.
I think we need to know what position it's in.
No.
I think it,
we can imagine.
You
know,
whichever one you want.
No, yeah, there's an obvious go-to.
It's either a peace sign or another thing.
Or this thing.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
a llama? That's true. We've never done that. I've never done that.
Llama.
Rock and roll, baby.
Llama. That's what it was when it was... this is an audio podcast and I'm like making hand signs. But that's what it was in the episode when Pat was like, did you do that or did they?
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so funny because it's always in that. Someone's always moving it. Okay. So always. Yeah. I don't even know how to answer that one. Like literally everybody that walks answer. Past it mm-hmm. changes it.
I wrote Cameron.
Yeah.
I wrote myself because I do it all the time. I think I actually was the thing that inspired them to put it. I would always do it in the middle of the scene. So they're finally like, we're just going to put it in the scene.
I have a picture of myself with the hand before the robot was ever assembled.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Where it's doing the mm. one, you know. Mm.
Mm. The and bird?
I did it, yeah.
I put Cameron as well because he's a prankster. He likes to do fun stuff like
yeah.
I put me. Yeah, it's just an incredible toy, you know. Yeah. It's like
the biggest action figure yeah, on earth.
It's nuts. Like I was that kid. Like I had 150 Power Rangers and all that stuff. It's fun, and now there's this huge version of it, and it's really fun to play with, you know. And I do that all of the time, and I'm sure someone's whole job now is just to come in and check it and reset it because of me. So that's good. Yeah.
You're creating work for people. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Creating jobs. That's my right. MO.
And, so. And they're good union jobs.
That's right. That's right. All right. Should we get to some crazy?
Sean, did you pick someone?
What?
Did you pick someone?
Me. Just may as well call it me. Because mm-hmm. I also, every time I walk past the thing,
you like touch
do
it.
Something with the hands.
Should we dive into some season twosies? Some facts and
yeah.
things?
Yeah. Actually, thank you for that game. That was fun.
We have half an hour left with Yvette, and then she has to leave. Ooh, and then we can come back to the game after some season two chat, and everybody can just answer Yvette for everything.
Love that.
She won't be here to defend herself.
Oh, I don't have a car either.
Yeah, I drove her here.
Okay, so we have half an hour left total.
Yeah. Ish.
But we can go a little over.
Yeah, well, you might end up with just Hour Night, and that's okay.
I would love to have some time just with Hour Night. I love that you said Hour Night on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she brought it up to me and I was like, you know, because I don't exist on the internet anymore. And she, I asked if she said it was brought up at her Tall Girl press.
It was.
Oh, cute.
It was yeah. multiple times.
Aww,
I mean,
really? I love it was. That. And I was shocked. And then yeah. my whole Tall Girl cast was like, what?
I love that.
What show is that? What's Hour Night? What?
I love that our shortest cast member is on a show called Tall Girl.
I know.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. And it's only fitting that the shortest member of the cast should end up with the tallest member of the cast. You know what facts. I mean? Just logistically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I will say as it relates to season three that...
Season three
as a teaser.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. He thought about it ahead of time.
Okay.
Just that like we have some crazy... like scenes together mm-hmm. That are very different from the first two seasons.
Yeah. Take that word crazy however you choose.
It's a vague word.
Also, I would like to remind everyone that we do have an Hour Night t-shirt in our merch store.
What?
What?
What's it look like?
I've got to buy this.
It's a painted version of when Beth jumps out of
the window,
window and Cam catches
you.
And it's in a heart.
Stop it. We all have to get these. That's adorable.
It. Yeah, we're going to go to your merch shop and buy it today.
Yes, it's merch.stargirlaftershow.com. We'll take you to our T Public store. Not P Public. That's a different site.
Something you shouldn't do.
Oh my God.
Need.
Dude, it's adorable.
Let me see.
Oh my goodness. That's so adorable. It. It's giving me Twilight vibes.
Yeah, actually it is.
Well, now I'm taking it down.
I don't know.
I love Twilight. That's a compliment in my life.
So cute.
No, it's a classic.
No, really, because I really stood out in those lines to see Twilight at midnight.
Oh, same. I love
it's
it.
A really big compliment.
Yeah. And then afterwards I read the books and those were dazzling for the imagination.
Such our generation.
Mm-hmm. And all the glitter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the glitter was...
I call them glampires.
Okay.
Also, like, just, you know, just in quick defense of, like, our Pat and, you know, Kristen Stewart, like, the stories about what they had to work with creatively when they were making that are crazy. And, like, they somehow still, like, found their way. And now they both have these really amazing careers. And I just think, like, that's so cool. What a great way to start, you know? Wouldn't mind if Stargirl blew up like Twilight.
And you know? Robert Pattinson... is joining the DC Universe
yeah.
next
That's
month.
Right.
He'll be out in circle. What I actually expect to be maybe
really
the
movie.
Best Batman movie of all time.
No, The Dark Knight. I feel like nothing can ever beat that.
This hopefully will be what the most recent Joker was to Heath's Joker, where it's not even a conversation.
It's not
because
the Joker,
they're so
it's the Riddler, though.
Well, what I'm saying is like what Joaquin did with the Joker was so not even a commentary mm-hmm. on Heath's Joker that like they're both got to be brilliant in the world and not fight each other. Right. And I hope that Robert Pattinson's Batman is so different and such a like indie different take on Batman that people are like, these are awesome and they're for different things.
My high expectations come from the news that it's going to be more like detective focused. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the detective aspect of Batman has been so largely overlooked in every movie ever.
That'll be really exciting. And I think Cam's right. I hope it's going to be very like, they're both so good. Like Dark Knight and this one where you're like, they're not really where people talk about it and they go, you can't compare.
Yeah.
They're not the same, you know? Anyway, sorry. Other questions. But season two.
Let's get on to season two. Did you have any questions prepared, Sarah, about season two or Ben?
I have questions.
I don't think we do.
We were talking about ships, and there's so many ships in our show mm-hmm. from Our Knight to Wild. Yeah, Starcat to
Pretty much Cammy, every combination you can imagine.
Which I find really interesting because our show doesn't have a lot of relationship talk, but yet people just love to talk about it.
Does anyone mm-hmm. feel like, you know, there might be just like, I don't know, more relationship stuff in season three?
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I just have a feeling. I don't know.
I don't know who with. Like season two, I mean, Cammy, it has been the slowest burning relationship. Season two, you got to see a little bit more, and I'm hoping it just really keeps burning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Yvette and I talked about this mm-hmm. over lunch recently, where I am not too invested in like relationships mm-hmm. because some shows make the relationships like the central running thing. And Stargirl has like realistic relationships that don't overtake the whole thing. Yeah. And I love the way it's been handled thus far.
I agree. Mm.
And honestly, when you have the love between Croc and Paula and Pat and Barbara, what more do you need?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Croc and Paula, season two ended with them coming back. Literally, knock, knock, knock.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're your new neighbors. So that'll be fun.
The news that they were going to be series regulars for season three
so cool.
was mm-hmm. so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, I immediately reached out to them and was like, you guys, I'm so happy for you.
Me too. I like messaged them both on Instagram. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Yeah, I think one of the most exciting things about our show in this universe is that you never know who's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Like it's everyone's always on the table, and like
even if they've died, it doesn't matter.
So that's like awesome because we've had so many cool people roll through, and then you get to like look at a call sheet and be like, "That's so cool! So and so's coming back! Like what a mm-hmm. great reunion!" I really love that about our show.
That's one thing that was great about having Eclipso on. Was you could bring people back without diminishing the power of their deaths.
Yeah, like Icicle. It was so fun to have Neil Jackson back.
Yeah, and Jake.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Jake.
Yeah.
Who plays Henry Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have deaths that weren't really deaths. You have alternate universes, which we can always play with, like different Earths, right? And then like Eclipso, that was hallucinations. We have the Shadowlands, which you can see anything there. So I could see my parents in the Shadowlands. All the Zareks
came back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, Joey got another shot at his magic trick.
He still messed it up.
Yeah.
I love the way that was handled. Where they went from like, oh, we don't remember you. This is like a mm-hmm. whole new thing. To like, are you going to lie to me again?
Yeah. No, that scene was super fun. That episode 11 of season two, just the whole Shadowlands episode was so much fun, so special. Like, I never thought I'd get to be in something that was black and white. And just from like an actor standpoint, that was really cool to like.
Now, how long did it take you to get into the gray makeup to be?
Oh my gosh, it took forever. Hours of body makeup. But the Shadowlands was really cool.
That's like one of my favorite episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. Actually, the only episode I'm not in, but it's one of my favorite episodes of the season.
That's so funny. I loved episode 8 of last season, which is kind of the Dr. Midnight Hour Man focused episode. And I was hardly in it. I'm in like two scenes and it was one of my favorite episodes.
You guys totally like organically segued into this thing that I was going to ask you anyway about what everybody's favorite episode was.
Oh, funny. Okay.
So that's perfect.
I still love that, though. Yeah. Let's.
So, Ange, yours was 11.
My favorite is ours, but okay. The next up is probably the finale and then 11.
Yeah, the finale's fun, too.
And then Breckles.
I think the Shadowlands episode is my favorite. Just, like, it pushed me a lot as an actor, but also, like I said, it was something I never thought I'd get to be able to do in 2022.
And that rhymed, so that's even better. What about you, Evie?
I love the episode of when I worked with Christopher.
Yeah.
We were in the church.
Seven.
Yeah, right? That was really fun. Mm-hmm. That was him back. It was him. It was Jake.
Who that was an intense scene. Yeah. You were just worn out after that day of filming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really intense, but it was fun. It was fun to see it all come together and, like, see all the work that I put into it.
Yeah, you had such a beautiful performance.
Thanks, guys.
The people were just going like on and on Twitter, just saying like she deserves an Emmy for her performance, and you did. It was so beautiful.
Your acting was so great.
Thanks, guys.
It really showed like what a talented actress you are.
I appreciate that. 100%. Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun to dive into that.
Yeah, I really loved that. Like she'd spent all season internalizing all the pain and the guilt, and then it just like burst like a dam, and it was powerful.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love that season too. We each kind of had an episode that really gave us a time like as actors to go for it, and I mean y'all all killed it. I think we all showed up. Not to like pat ourselves on the back.
No, but we should.
You can pat yourselves on the back.
Yeah,
because you did great. And it's also worth noting that like season two started right as like the industry was just getting started back from COVID.
Yeah.
And that was a whole other thing to deal with. And everyone was still trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Yep.
There was definitely like a transition period at the beginning of season two when filming, because it was so different, just like the COVID protocols, but the fact that we were able to get through season two without having to shut down was so insane. I think I just have to give so much credit to the cast and the crew for like being so safe and taking it so seriously, because most shows were not able to get through a full season without shutting down.
Yeah, we had an amazing COVID compliance officer to season two, Jennifer, I think her last name was Villabuena, who was just like so flexible and sweet, and
also really cared and
tried to meet us halfway, because it was such an adjustment.
Yeah, adjustment for everybody. Yeah. Like nobody had, we didn't know like how to function on sets with masks, and at the time we had to also have shields, and then we were in plastic squares.
Yeah,
and like, you know, it was like just such a navigating, and also just like the COVID department. That's a whole new department that's also learning and trying to navigate and learn how to work with other departments and testing schedules. Like it's a lot, and I think
I'm getting a rod shoved through your face three times a week.
Yeah,
we did a really good job. I'm very proud of our cast and crew. Like I think that deserves an award in itself. We didn't get shut down once at that time. Like I have friends on shows that got shut down six times.
Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing. Go us.
I was going to say that I had a lot of friends who weren't working, and I just felt so lucky to be able to come back to work and be like, okay, we still get to keep our job. And
so blessed.
Yeah. Keep it going. Yeah.
We were really fortunate that was the second season too. Cause I had a lot of friends who were starting a project or trying to get a project started that was in its like first days. And by that time we knew each other and there was trust. And like everybody said, I was so proud of just like the character that everybody showed as a team, because like making anything in our industry, it takes so much teamwork, and it like our whole crew came together, and also as a cast. And that's my favorite. That's been my favorite thing about this season. Like I look forward to nothing more than showing up with the other three people that I'm sitting with here and doing like JSA table scenes. Mm-hmm. Those for us now are just favorite. Like our jelly.
Right. They're my favorite too.
Like we just have such a great time together. And I
we don't
feel
have
so
as many as I'd like, but when we do get them, those are my favorite days.
Yeah.
And just now being in season three, we have such a good rhythm with each other. Yep. And it just flows. It's really nice.
We still get the giggles. Yep. It's okay though. Yeah. Okay,
you know, honestly, with table reads being like largely virtual, I wish I could just sit in on one, because season one, you know where my desk was. It was right outside the conference room.
Yeah.
So I couldn't hear the table reads, but I could hear like bursts of laughter. I was like, they're having so much fun in there.
Yes.
And I'm just here like meticulously making a newspaper.
I would do anything to get in-person table reads back. Same. It was my favorite time to see everybody and mm-hmm. just share space and like kind of take stock of the fact that like all of us as grown adults were making something together. Mm-hmm. Like I miss everybody in
we'll
that
get
way.
There though. We're yeah. like already there's been so much movement towards what it used to be. So I feel like in a couple, hopefully soon, but at least in a couple years, like I can see in-person table reads yeah. again.
Me too.
Knock on wood.
So I have a question. What was everyone's least favorite scene of season two to shoot?
Oh, interesting question.
It's funny that Angelica looks so confused because the reason I asked the question is because I came across an article today about what she said was her least favorite scene.
Oh, so you should have an answer.
And you've been
I don't remember what I said.
She's like, my scenes with our moms.
No. Well, while you think about it, I'll answer first. It's episode one. We were in the freezing cold shooting this alleyway scene.
Yes.
We were shaking. We could not hide it.
Yep.
It was so bad. The cold was so bad.
Is that the opening scene?
Yeah. Where yes. We're in the alleyway. The
we didn't even finish it. We had to go back.
three months later
and reshoot it?
No, the last half of it. The first part of that scene and the last half of that scene were shot 3 months apart.
Mm-hmm. Right. The scene was great, but shooting it was like... Yeah.
We had to change the lines to include that was the first time that we like basically acknowledged that Eclipso was changing the weather because it was supposed to be summer and you could see all of our breath in the night. And they were like, okay, we have to someone said like was it Edie's line or maybe mine was like, I'm sweating in my suit. I just want to go home.
Oh, yeah. They had to take that.
They had to take the line out because we were not sweating.
There was like frost.
Yeah. A friend of mine texted me and was like, I'm watching Stargirl and it's supposed to be summer, but all the trees mm-hmm. are bare. And I was like, just wait. Because I knew like in the next episode.
Yeah.
I think Beth actually says that. It's summer, but all the trees are bare.
Yep.
And
that's when they started like writing it in because they were like, we got to figure this out.
We had to.
I think it was Andy, the director.
Armaganian.
Yeah. Yes. She mentioned the whole weather situation. I think that's what made them include it. That's what she, told me.
Oh, so it wasn't originally in the scripts?
No.
It was just a product of that?
Yeah. We had to use that because it was what we were working with.
We shot in
the
winter and it was supposed to be summer.
Which I think, again... like we're so lucky to be on a superhero show because you can always like figure out reasons like I don't know.
No,
someone wants
so
to
true.
Come back to life, we can do it.
It's so true.
The trees are bare, that's okay, we can fix it.
Or if any of us just were not great to work with, you just kill us really fast. Like so you know,
or you can change someone's face.
Uh-huh. Yes, right. Just recast them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I signed away my likeness so you could get rid of Cam but still have our man and it would not be a problem. You know,
I mean, Batwoman has a new face.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
true. Yeah.
Ruby Rose didn't want to be on the show anymore.
It's true.
Yeah. You could do a whole gag where like there was a really bad injury and the person needed facial reconstruction.
Okay. So here's the thing with Batwoman that I didn't get. And I don't know.
I'm watching.
I haven't watched it.
In season one, mm-hmm. they had a whole story where one of the bad guys was making other faces for people.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know why their first thought wasn't like, oh, well, we'll just recast her say that.
I agree. Like, why didn't they just love it? Really great show, Batwoman. However, I agree. Don't understand why they didn't just have her transform. Like, why the plane crash? Why?
And it would have been so great. She could have just like woken up
and been a whole different person.
Not understood that she had a new face yet.
Yeah, but I feel like they were like, you're not going to wake up as a black woman. You know, I feel like that's why they did that.
Yeah.
Because they were like,
they did
this
get to give us a woman of color.
Could have been really problematic somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But considering how it already had been going, like people were changing ethnicities and whatever. So it could have just worked that way. But the plane crash, I mean, it was a great scene. I thought Javicia did an incredible job. With it, but I agree. I think that storyline, again, great show. But I was like, why? It was very didn't really make sense.
Honestly, I got so busy last year that I'm like full seasons behind on some of my superhero shows.
But you're caught up on Stargirl, right?
I've watched every episode of Stargirl at least four times.
That's
yay!
Yep.
Go there us. You go.
Actually, probably a lot more.
So is my mom.
So is my grandma.
Brett, did you have a least favorite scene? Did you think of one?
I actually kind of agree with Yvette. That scene was really hard. Also, it was like 3 a.m. and I remember Jeff, who I just, you know, I think he's like the best showrunner in the world. I remember him coming up to me and he goes, I'm going to shut us down. We actually had another hour and a half that we could film. And he's like, it's just TV. Like, this isn't life or death. Everyone's miserable. We're going to go home. And it was just so beautiful that he kind of put, we were all struggling.
It was our well-being first.
First. We were humans before we were actors and cameramen. And so that was like, as horrible as that scene was, because we were miserable because of weather. I thought that was a beautiful moment.
Well, that's very nice.
I don't remember what I said in this interview.
Do you want to tell us, Sean?
That's fun. I was actually, like, I genuinely right now, I'm like trying to think. I think that's why my face looks so confused, because I don't.
Well, in the thing that I read, you also did say that you blocked it out.
Oh, that's probably why.
The sandwich.
I actually.
Oh, she remembers.
Yeah, that was awful. I forgot all about that.
Mm. Wait, what happened? Sean, tell us.
My brain literally will block things out that were like.
The maggot sandwich.
Low-key traumatic.
What?
You guys, those were real maggots.
Oh.
Like, and I don't know why I showed up to set that day thinking they were going to be fake maggots or like the bugs were going to be like CGI'd. Like, I got there and they're like, okay, this is the maggot wrangler. And this is the person who's going to have all the maggots that you're going to be holding. And I literally looked at Jeff and was like, the maggots are real? He was like, of course they are. And I'm like, what? Why did anyone tell me? He's like, you read it. Like, what did you think? And I'm like, I don't know.
My favorite
tiny
part
animatronic
of that
maggots.
Is the maggots get paid.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. The maggots made a lot of money, I'm sure, that day. Yeah. Forgot about that. Probably that. That's probably it. Forgot all about it. I actually don't really. Every day that I get to show up, I feel so blessed. And my suit is really warm compared to theirs. So when they're really freezing, sometimes I take my cape and I try to cover them and warm them with it. Because
it's so cute.
I have a lot of layers under that Dr. Midnight suit. And season 1, it was hot as frick. It was so freaking hot because we were filming in the summer.
Now July, Hotlanta.
Yeah. Now we're in the winter and I'm like coasting.
I know. First season I was thriving and now I'm like, oh, my tummy.
Right. What about you, Cam?
You know, you guys gave me a lot of time to think about it, and I think that made it worse. I just don't know. I mean, I
just figured they would all have something to do with like being uncomfortable or being on wires
that's
for a
given.
Long time.
Like
or something.
The super suits are beautiful, and the way they were designed is incredible, but they are not comfortable, and that's totally fine. And so that's like you shake that off, and for me, I roll that into my character. Like I'm uncomfortable as Rick because I'm trying to wear a suit that. I don't deserve whatever. Like it works that way. But when we're all together doing it, you're like, this is fine. Cause
yeah,
we're together.
We're all struggling.
So yeah, that part is, you know, at some point would I love to wear just like one layer of Under Armour and green screen it like RDJ in, you know, Iron Man. Yeah. But we're not there yet. That's okay.
I gotta tell you, I can definitely relate because I do cosplay stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys ever see my Mojo Jojo cosplay
Mojo Jojo
from Powerpuff Girls, it is the most uncomfortable thing to wear. And I had full sclera contacts and I'm walking around and my shoulders are poking people in this crowded convention center.
Yeah. Ange and I have that on the show because we have no peripheral vision.
None.
We can't turn our heads. So similar, you know, but when you're padded, you just bump into things and you just kind of bounce off.
Yeah. My shoulders are pointy and there's metal in there.
It's hazardous.
Speaking of suits, I can share this about season 3.
Uh-uh.
So my goggles light up now. On their own. Like,
oh, cool.
In season 1 and season 2, it was all
visual.
What is that?
VFX.
Mm. And now the goggles light up on their own. And we have like they can control it. I don't know how they do it. But so now, as I just wear them, they light up on their own. And
so
I love it. I love it so much. I think it is the coolest thing. I've like, the day they brought them to me, I cried real tears. Like, of all the days where I felt like I know, I'm like, yeah, I'm a superhero, blah, blah, blah. That was like my goggles light up on my face. Like,
yeah, I gotta.
Getting emotional now.
Try to make that with the goggles that I've got here.
I remember this scene the first time it happened, and it was like time stood still. And it was the first time that, like, she always looks amazing when she comes in as Dr. Midnight, but it was the first time that Dr. Midnight was intimidating. Like, it was like, uh oh, who's that? This is scary. Like, it was real superhero stuff. So yeah. I'm really happy that you got those goggles. Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It means a lot to me.
Oh, and
Angelica.
This is embarrassing.
No, it's so sweet. I'm crying over
goggles lighting up. Like a 5-year-old.
But it's your goggles. It's Dr. Midnight's goggles. And you're Dr. Midnight.
And it's helping you, like, inhabit being a superhero.
Me too. It means a lot to Beth, which means a lot to me.
Which means a lot to a lot of little girls.
Mm-hmm. As an audience member, since you're already about to cry, Angelica, I'll go ahead and say that your growth and story arc through season 2, because that's kind of related to the goggle improvement, was my favorite story arc of the season. Just seeing where you started and then your, you know, forcefulness and confidence at the end of the season was really awesome to watch.
Cute. Okay, no, now I'm really crying. Sorry. Thank you. That means so much to me. I appreciate it. I didn't write it, but like, I really love it. Thank you.
You acted it though.
That I did do. They hired me to do that, and that's really fun. Thank
and
you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but with episode 8, didn't you help go in and finite the writing?
I did, yeah, with Steve Harper, who wrote that episode, who's awesome. Me, him, and Jeff kind of got together and just went through and, yeah, added a lot of my own personal experience and personal experience that Steve had had and why he wrote what he wrote. And then I got to like say, oh, this is my experience. Can we say this or can we do that? And they kind of just gave me the liberty and the freedom to change some of the dialogue for myself and Milo, who's incredible, incredible actor. It was a really awesome opportunity.
We talked to Milo and his parents about how you helped him with that scene.
It's awesome.
And, you know, I don't know if they told you this, but they were driving across the country and then they got that script and they almost turned around.
Yeah, they were like, we're not doing this. Yeah, they did tell me that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was wild. I love his parents and him as well. But that experience was very heavy for his family. Like, they did not want to be a part of that. Like, they didn't want their son at all to seem like racist or anything. Like, they are a very progressive family who like focuses on allyship, and obviously they also live in LA and are very supportive, so they were just like, this is not what we want our son to be a part
of. So you basically helped him to understand that saying those lines was a form of allyship.
Yes, exactly. I had the conversation with him, but I also had the conversation with his parents because they were so, you know, against it. But what I was trying to explain to them was, A, we changed some of the dialogue that Milo's character was saying to me to be phrases that have actually been said to me. Like, those racist phrases you hear in episode 8 are real phrases that have been told to me in real life. So that is why we chose those specific words. And I needed him to say those things in order to have Beth's reaction be real and also to be to force her into standing up for herself, to advocate for herself. But like, it needed to be that harsh. It needed to be that awful, you know, in order to make Beth do something. Cause Beth is so like, oh, I'll just brush it off. Like, it's whatever. People are mean and that's what it is. And she's used to people being mean to her, you know, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But in order for it to like really force her character development, people to see that, it needed to really be that bad. And so then they were like, okay, we get it. Like, if it's going to support her storyline and her growth, then okay. But at first they were like, no, which I also respect. I appreciate that, actually. But, you know, we need people to show it. So
I mean, even when he, like, just starts, it's sort of like, oh, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just ramps it up from there.
Mm-hmm. It gets, like, worse and worse and worse. Like, right when you think you're like, okay, it's done. It's not done, you know? And then you're like, okay, he must be done now. And he's like, nope, there's more. And I'm like, yeah, that's real life, unfortunately. But really grateful that we got to do that and address that. And yeah, really grateful to Jeff for allowing me to like collab with all that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Steve Harper is also a man of color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful. And it's important that like, they gave him that episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just not the same if a white person is trying to write, you know,
right,
those experiences.
And Andy directed it. She's a white woman, but she absolutely gave me so much liberty to kind of make it my own. And because she's very like, I don't know how I'd react in this situation. Like, only you are going to be the one to figure this out. So you do you, and then I'll let you know, like, let's try it a bigger reaction. Let's try it more grounded, and then we'll find a sweet spot. But even during the editing, I tried so many different lines that I said. And like, when they were editing, Jeff was like, I want you to come in and see like our top four things that we loved and tell me which ones you think is the best. And I'm like, okay.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. Really grateful for that. Yeah. Fun time.
That's a far cry from the way things used to be. Like, that time they painted a stunt double for you on another show.
Good Lord. Awful experience. And that was only a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, they still do it actually. An actress recently reached out to me on Instagram. She was filming a movie in Vancouver and they like painted down her stunt double. It was awful and it was a terrible. She was the only black person on the set, like not even behind the camera, no hair, no makeup, like whatever. And she tried to advocate for herself and the producers just completely shut her down. And I was like, yeah, no, that's unacceptable. It's fine. We got lawyers involved. It's going to be a great, she's going to be fine. But like, this shit still happens. This was like 2021, like December. So like, it's unacceptable. Wow. I understand that those practices used to be very common, but like, so was lynching. So was slavery. Just because things were common doesn't mean they're okay. And yeah, just because we used to do it doesn't mean we should do it.
This is the way it's always been. It's not a good argument for anything
exactly.
ever.
Exactly. Like, this is how we've always done it. Yeah, but it doesn't mean we have to do it now. There's so many incredible stunt doubles that are women of color. On this show alone, I've had like four. Mm-hmm. Like four different women of color stunt doubles. Like, just not an excuse anymore. There is an awesome database called StuntPoc, StuntPoc.com. Mm-hmm. It is a database similar to IMDb that has tons of stunt doubles that are people of color all over the country, all over the world. Not acceptable. That is a resource. If anybody needs it and you're listening, go to stuntpoc.com.
And I got to tell you, this podcast is like the number one podcast amongst producers and directors and stuff. I like to dream.
I believed you.
I really believed you too. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Also, Sarah's been quiet. Sarah, do you have any questions about season two?
About season two? I'm not sure. I guess some of my questions are more about potential hints for season three.
Mm.
My biggest one is we saw Hootie in season one. Mm. He was not in season two. Do we get any Hootie in season three?
No.
She's like, I'm just going to say it.
This is one of those things where I'm just going to let you know. No, I'm so sorry. It's really,
all right.
I think
that's
the owl
okay.
is very expensive. Like Breck said, the maggots get paid, the owl gets paid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I do know. The answer is no.
Okay, that makes sense.
Sorry.
I do. But I really want the owl too.
Me
ever
too.
Season so one, I was cute. So excited about the owl for your character.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question for you guys. Mm. Did any of you get to meet John Wesley Shipp?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah.
Just Cam.
I mean, super briefly. It's sometimes disorienting on our show when someone walks in and you just don't know, you know, who they are or what they're doing there. And that happens a lot of times for me when I bump into people at testing or walking to a trailer and I always stop and say hi. And then it was explained to me later that was an iconic moment that I brushed over. And I was like, oh, sick. That's so cool, you know? So that's all I have to say.
I know
say
you guys didn't
it.
Have any scenes with him because his scenes were all decades ago.
Right.
I know what year that is. I'm not telling anybody.
Uh-oh.
But, I've got his helmet here. That's the one from the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That was...
Oh, cool.
That's so cool.
Covered in ice and stuff. They repainted it before they gave it to me, and I kind of wish they hadn't. Aww. But whatever.
We've had some extraordinary, like, adult actors come through our set the last couple years, I feel like. And each year kind of gets better. I mean, like, Ange, I'm thinking about Alex, right? Yeah. Who played Dr. McNider last year. And
Mark from season mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm. Mark Ashworth, yep. Yeah,
incredible.
Who plays the janitor, who mm-hmm. I expect we're going to see back.
I sure very so. Much love to see Justin come back.
Yeah, he's, yeah, but it's just like, it's so incredible when people come in that change the chemistry of your set, you know, and Alex was one of those people that mm-hmm. was so warm and so, it just talented and wise and friendly. And mm-hmm. it's so neat to watch someone like that come in and assimilate into the group so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it just adds a fun flavor because you have our group, but then you get these fun new people sprinkled in.
I have to note when, during season one, when I would hear you guys talk about Mark, I literally was like, is this some big time actor that I haven't should heard
be.
Of?
Should be.
He's on his way. Yeah. He will be
incredible.
Yeah. I like literally, I thought that you guys were talking about like someone that was a huge star that I just hadn't heard of, which happens because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I'm not tuned in to the mm-hmm. to the pulse of everything. Like, I never watched that 70s show. And so Ashton Kutcher was suddenly this giant star everywhere. And I'm like, where'd this guy come from? He's been on the show for 8 years. Oh,
you love that. You're show.
Like, oh, I don't watch that show. I missed it.
Yeah.
It can happen.
I thought it was one of those. And I looked him up and like, he's been in over 100 things mm-hmm. and he is amazing, but not a household name. And I just thought the way you guys talked about how amazing he was, that he was some household name that I'd missed out on.
He's fantastic.
Speaking Let's make it happen, though.
Of a little household name, Mr. Joel McHale. Mm-hmm. At the end of season two, obviously we have our little teasers, and Starman is back. He helped me help Stargirl defeat Eclipso. Yeah.
You can say that's me. Right. We know that you're Stargirl.
So that's another kind of like slow burn we've had all throughout season two. Mm-hmm. So I think season three set us. I mean, season the end of season two set us up to get some answers.
Actually, I was surprised that we saw him in the first episode of season one and then not again at all until the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be like a little scene or two of him. Like he's in Vegas. Let's show him like somewhere else in Omaha or something.
Yeah.
Joel's a busy like, man.
Making his way.
It's hard to get him tied down.
It's true. I mean, we did get him in flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But not
oh,
like,
yes.
Not
that's
like
true.
In his way.
I got him to make a TikTok. Yeah.
Hmm? Yep.
I got him to make a TikTok.
Yep. Oh, nice.
But just on the Joel topic, like I've been so blown away by him as a person, mm-hmm. like working with him this season. He is so gracious and so present and focused. And he's really like had a big job. You know, he was promoted to a series regular in season three. That's out there.
It is?
Yeah. I just looked it up on my phone.
Okay,
that's
totally out. That's why I was totally trying to like tiptoe around
yep.
it. Yeah.
Yep.
Mr.
Totally
Joel
the
is
world.
A season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Series
and,
five. Yeah.
And he's just like had a lot of weight to carry and he's done it. I've learned a lot from him. He's so open to talking about what his career has looked like so far and what's worked and what hasn't. And he just has everyone laughing all of the time. All so the time. I adore him. I'm so happy we have him.
Inspires me. Yeah. The way he shows, I really don't know a man who's busier than he is. He will have a show in Vegas on a Saturday night. He'll be filming Friday night, do the show in Vegas Saturday, go see his family on Sunday and be filming at 6 a.m. on Monday and know every single line, be so kind. Like he inspires me truly.
I have to say my first experience with Joel ever was during season one, obviously, because that was the only time I was allowed on set because of COVID. They were shooting a car scene with Pat where it's
driving to the mansion, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
They're just like, they've got a light rig going over him to make it look like he's driving under streetlights. And so they're shooting that and there's no sound, but when you're shooting, this is for our listeners, not for you guys, because I know you know, they do what's called a lockdown. So nobody can go through doors because it'll make noise. But we know they're not capturing sound here. But I had to run out to set for something and I'm trying to get back to my office and I couldn't go because they're shooting mm-hmm. and there's a PA on the other side of the door who won't let me through. And with me is Joel and some other person. And Joel goes up to the little window in the door and he's like trying to explain like they're not shooting sound. It's like it's not going to hurt anything if we go. And she opens the door and she points to him and she mouths, "Just you." And Joel was like, "I'll wait."
Yeah.
You know, instead of using his privilege as an actor, he was like all Starmaned up, mm-hmm. you know, blood. And,
mm-hmm.
Instead of using his privilege to
get him through.
He's like, if they can't go through, I'm going to wait with them.
That's him, though. That's very him. Yeah.
That is just such a high quality move.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a good person.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we can give you
in five minutes?
Will make this even better for you.
Like discuss the finale or.
Do you have any like final questions for them?
Guys, what do you think?
I mean, I kind of wanted to ask about working with Keith David, but that's my only real question for season three.
What was it?
If you can say anything about working with Keith David.
Keith David did the voice of Mr. Bones. So I don't think anyone.
Oh yeah, no one's had that experience yet.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was so confused for a second. I haven't actually got to meet him in person because he's doing voiceover.
Right. Gotcha.
But I'm sure it's going to be so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys never interacted with him or Jim Gaffigan, right?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's kind of like I never actually worked with when Dr. Midnight was
Henry Thomas.
Mm-hmm. I never actually worked with him. I just, you know. Heard it all in my head, I guess, or you know. And then when I watched the show, I was like, "Oh my gosh, amazing! That's what he sounds like."
Yeah,
it's cool. Which is even better. Now it's Alex. So, go off.
Whose voice is not so different?
No. And he's amazing. So great.
All right, thank you so much for having me. I love you guys.
I want to thank
Sean,
all of our JSA for being here. Is there anything that you guys would like to say to our listeners? Like, for example, watch Tall Girl.
Yeah, oh, yes, absolutely.
February 11th, 100%. Netflix.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. Yep.
So excited to watch it. You don't even know.
listen, you're here in your podcast app, go look up Black Box. If you haven't listened to that yet, I loved the hell out of that.
I'm listening to it right now. I think it's so good.
I when I drove to Florida for the holidays, I binged it on my way down there. And we loved it. It's got Breck and Joel McHale.
Yeah, because Joel and I didn't record at the same time, and I kind of forgot he was part of it, and I put it on, and I was just like, I'd been working with him that day, and I'm like, man, I can't, like, that's Joel's voice. I just thought it was so funny. My idea is I want to get Joel, and I'm like, let's make it live action. I think it would make such a good live action series. I think I'm a little old for the role I play. I play like 13. It's a scripted podcast. Yeah. But
you can produce it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's so good. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
I mean, you were playing 15 not too long ago.
I'm still 16. Pillow, you know? I think I can play 14, but 13's pushing it. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, I loved it.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it very much. And I'm looking forward to more because it...
I think we're doing a season two. I know they want to, which would be super fun.
Stops pretty open-ended.
Yeah.
No spoilers, though. Did you record that at home?
No. Funny enough, that was the very first thing I did. It was... one of, if not the first voiceover to go back into studio during the pandemic. It was the first time I had worked in like 8 months. It was the day.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, actually, this is a really interesting story. The guy who wrote it, he completely did all of it himself. He funded it all himself. It was a passion project for him. And he was like, please show up to the studio on time. Like, this is all, I'm funding all of it. So we were all so excited to be a part of it.
Like renting it hourly?
Yes. Yes. And so I was going to get there 30 minutes early. I'm on my way. And that's the day.
You got in the car accident.
I got in the car accident.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that gosh. Day.
Funny enough, I called Angelica. Mm-hmm. Her best friend was going into labor that day.
Literally.
I was just like on the side of the 101 in California. I'm in my car right after the wreck. The first person I call is the director. I'm bawling. I'm like, I'm going to be late. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be late. Because I had promised. I'm like, I'm going to be there early. This is for you. Like, we just love... everyone was so excited to be a part of it. We wanted to support him and his passion project. And I ended up being 4 hours late. And then Cameron dropped off a coffee and was just so lovely. I don't know what the point of that was.
I was just curious about that because a friend of mine is being flown to London to do a voice on a podcast.
Oh, funny. Goals.
Mm-hmm. It could just use you, but I go off. Like, fly me to London.
Yeah.
Like,
anyway, you really need to go.
Yeah, my blood sugar is low, so I'm out.
Thank you so much.
Sean, we love you.
You guys are fantastic.
I love you.
And we hope to have you back on soon.
Yeah.
Please. I have so much fun talking about Stargirl.
Are you going with them?
I am, but I'll just one last thing I'll say. Like, it goes without saying, but it's such an honor to be in the middle of a third season of a show. I know everyone here's made things that never came out or whatever, and it's just it's been so humbling. And obviously the reason that we get to keep doing it is because we have like an incredible, very, very loyal, very enthusiastic fan base. And that means the world to me, because it's not lost on me at all that I get to show up to this fun job every day because of you guys listening. And it's such an honor. So thank you for loving our show. We're working so hard to bring you an amazing season three.
Make sure that you watch it on the TV and then watch it again on the CW app the next day, so that we are sure to get a season four.
Yeah, exactly. And y'all already know this, but like, we're engaging with you all the time. So when you have questions, like, tweet us, Instagram us. You know, I'm a little bit of a grandpa, but I'll hear about it through Ange or someone. So we love you guys and we appreciate you. And thanks for listening today. And Sean, thank you for being such an amazing, you know, supporter of our show.
You know, always. I love it. Stargirl After Show.
I watch this as an adult as a podcast where we reminisce about movies from our childhood and we see if it still holds up, or we just say, I used to watch this crap. Check out the podcast to see what we say. Peace.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Stargirl After Show. Okay, the JSA has officially left the building. And how great was that, having the whole JSA here?
That was amazing. And it was so great to be talking about Stargirl again. I've been going through withdrawals.
Their chemistry was awesome. I can see why they work so well on the show together, because they all really like each other.
Yeah, they're really great people. I love them all. And I haven't been going through the same Stargirl withdrawals, because literally, like, full-time Stargirl is still my life. Mm-hmm. And the things I'm keeping inside that I wish I could tell you, oh my God.
Is there any talk about release date?
No, not that I have been privy to, but I have a theory.
Oh, all right.
Currently in Stargirl's time slot, is Naomi, which is another 13 episode deal that was shot right across the street from Stargirl, where we shot the first season of Stargirl. And my feeling is that they're going to finish Naomi's 13 episode run and then start Stargirl.
Nice.
The timing seems to make sense to me, but that's just a guess, literally based on looking at when Naomi is, and I could be completely off. So don't take that as news. It's literally just a guess.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that kind of thing happen a lot. And it's a great idea to give us 2 13 episode shows instead of 1 22 episode dragged on filler episode thing where you can't even, like, keep track of what the episode is about or the season is about by the end.
Agreed.
And I do like that COVID has like sort of forced shorter seasons for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like Legends of Tomorrow has been shorter seasons. So that's good because those 22 episode seasons are just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that used to be the norm.
Yeah. Though, I mean, before Stargirl, my dream was to get onto one of those shows because you work for 10 months and then you just take 2 months off and then you're back on the next season. And because the thing that I hate most about my job is looking for a new job every time a show ends. So, yeah, that was the JSA, everybody.
Yay.
And I'm so sorry that we weren't able to get through your game.
No worries.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll just have to get them all on again sometime and finish it up.
All right. So that's it. As Sarah and Ben mentioned, they've just wrapped up a season of What's New Nancy Drew because a season of Nancy Drew just wrapped. So go listen to that. Watch the show. Listen to them talk about it. Was that a 22 episode season? Did I just trash talk 22 episode seasons and then...
No, it was only a 13 episode season.
All right, great. I really need to watch Nancy Drew. I know this.
Yeah, everyone should.
It's a lot of fun.
And then are you back to recording table reads?
No, still unable to like really nail the guys down for scheduling, but I haven't tried lately. Mm-hmm. Now that my life is slowing down a little bit, I'm going to try to get that going. But there are lots of good shows you can listen to at fandomlim.com. That's our parent company, Fandom Limb Media. It hosts Stargirl After Show and Table Reads and What's New Nancy Drew.
And so many more great pop culture podcasts.
Yeah, we got a bunch. I think it's 17 now. And I'm about to undertake a new recruiting drive.
Okay.
I guess if you do a podcast that's about pop culture, nerdy stuff, comics and TV and movies and gaming, let us know. Go to fandomlim.com and contact us and say, hey, I want to be on your podcast network.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for having me, Sean and Sarah. Of course, this was really cool to get to be a bit of a fly on the wall for Stargirl and chat with those guys a little bit.
Ben, you are welcome to guest anytime you would like, sir.
Oh, you might want to be careful with that offer. It is one of my favorite shows, so I'm a big fan.
You know, it's one of my favorite shows, too. Or my favorite. Oh, one other thing, not Stargirl related, but like, guys, if you like Stargirl, really go watch Superman and Lois if you're not, because it's so good.
I need to get caught up. I watched the first episode and really enjoyed it. And then life happened, but I need to go back and catch up.
It's the only one that I've managed, that and The Flash are the only shows other than Stargirl that I've managed to like really keep up on. And The Flash is just because like it's the center of the Arrowverse now. So you sort of need it to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But Superman and Lois is like the production quality is up there with Stargirl. They just go the extra mile on stuff. And I really, really love the whole scenario. Like it's the best of Smallville and the best of like Lois and Clark, the New Adventures of Superman, but it's all new. Like, I love that there's not the will they, won't they, like that whole nonsense. Like, they're married. They have teenagers. And then they're moving to Smallville in the now and taking it. It's just a whole different approach to Superman that I've never seen. And I love it. And also, Tyler Hoechlin's like the best Superman in a generation.
Yeah.
So that's it for us. Anything else you guys want to plug real quick?
Can I plug my other podcast?
You have another podcast. Do it.
Of DC things. Yeah. So this one, unfortunately, is not on Fandom Limb yet, but I need to talk to my brothers. If you enjoy my gentle voice, you can also find me on the Brotherhood of Batman, wherever you listen to podcasts, where I talk about Batman continuity with Sarah's husband, who is my brother, and then our other brother. So that's a good time. Very nerdy.
Yeah. Listen to that as well. Brotherhood of the Batman, because I'm obviously way into Batman. You didn't speak up when we were talking about Batman.
I know. I was worried about the rabbit hole that would have created.
That's
but
fair.
I will definitely be watching that new movie, and I'm excited. The cast looks great for it.
Do you agree with me about the potential for it to be the greatest because of the detective aspect?
I like Batman in a campy sort of way. So I really, I am ready to be judged, but I like Batman and Robin, like 1998 high camp. And when the 66 show and movie, that's the kind of Batman I enjoy, the bright colors. So I'm going to watch it. I am excited for the detective element, especially because I'm a Nancy Drew fan. But as far as best Batman, my brothers are definitely dragging me to the theater.
Did you see my Shakespeare bust from the old Batman?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
The head flips back in the to open the Batcave.
Is that the real one?
No.
Oh, no. I was about to be very impressed.
No, it's a vinyl bank that they put out. It was like $100 or something, and I had to own it. But then I've got like a page of actual Batman comic art by Norm Breyfogle. The greatest Batman artist of all time, to my mind. R.I.P. Anyway, man, we're just chatting now. So we're going to let you go, everybody. I guess we'll be back. I would like to do a special episode with Angelica because we didn't have her on during the season proper. And I would like to talk to her about activism and all of that. Good stuff that's been going on in the time of COVID and racial protests and all of that. She's been very involved. As you heard, she helped guide the dialogue with all the Eclipso racism. So it's, and I've had conversations with her about some of that stuff, and it's a little outside the box for this show, but I would love to help give her a platform for that, to talk about that. Beyond that, I don't know that we really are going to have anything until we know more about season 3, which is to say anything at all.
Listeners, if there's anything that you want to hear us talk about, if you want to reach out to us, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Until we do come back with another episode, I would like for each and every one of you to have a super great day.
Stargirl After Show is a production of Fandom Limb Media.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.